Hi, Paul Sackett's Good News Planet. I'm speaking with Jason O'Dell Williams. Hello, Jason. How are you?
I'm great, Paul. How are you?
Okay, great. I had the honor, I will say, to see a wonderful play, and I believe you're the conceiver of this play. Is that right? Or they say the writer? Or is that
sense? That's right, the writer. I'm the author.
So how does an author get going on a concept? The concept here, or the title here, is called Church and State. And I got to see the New York premiere of it, was at the New World Stages, and I believe it's still there in 340 West 50th Street. And boy,
right.
I was very, very, very impressed with the performance and every single word and each actor's skill of expressing those words to the point that I really thought I was still in the election here in the United States.
Well, that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm not sure.
Well, I felt that I was in it because it was for real.
Yeah.
And the subject matter is for real, and a concerning subject matter, and a real life dilemma on how to deal with, in essence, violence, I will say. So you've made a show about peace, in my mind, how to deal with peace and how help us live more peacefully. So why don't you tell it, because you're the writer, and you can probably speak better than I. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, so the play is about a Republican senator from North Carolina who, after a shooting at a school, an elementary school in his hometown, actually the school his two boys go to, his two boys were not hurt, were not involved. But after the school shooting, he has a sort of crisis of faith. He's a man of God. As a religious man, but he basically wonders how could you believe in a God that would allow something like this to happen, and how is prayer going to help the victims? It's kind of his crisis of faith. It takes him a few days to kind of come to this realization. He's been sitting on it for about a week, and he has this sort of literal come to Jesus moment backstage before he's about to deliver his stump speech 3 days before his reelection. That's the other thing. It's 3 days before election day. And his liberal Jewish campaign manager and his Christian wife are backstage with him trying to control the damage, trying to wonder how can you turn your back on God? You know, now is when you need your faith the most, is what his wife says. But he really thinks, you know, I'm having these doubts. I really think we need to not only re-examine my faith, but re-examine my stance on guns is kind of the big sort of change of heart that he has. And he sort of wrestles with it sort of throughout the play, gives a speech on Saturday that kind of changes the tide, and ends up getting reelected, actually in a landslide. And the play just sort of examines, I think, where we are as a country on this issue and why we believe what we believe. It looks at faith, politics, guns, social media, a lot of things. And I think what I tried to do also, while this is a really very serious subject, I mean, all three of these subjects, these are the sort of the three things you're not supposed to talk about in mixed company, right? Religion, guns, and God. But that's what we talk about. And so we try and infuse the play with as much humor as possible too. The play for me came about. You asked earlier, like, how does it come to you? I mean, it comes in stages. There's never like a day where you're like, I'm going to write that play. It sort of was a trickling of ideas. 2007, after Virginia Tech, the gun issue became an issue for me. In 2011, after Gabby Giffords was shot in Tucson, I thought politicians and guns, like, how can we make something happen? That seems like a story to me. And then after Sandy Hook, I was angry and frustrated and really sort of full of rage. And I turned that into this play, trying to sort of combine all of the things that I was thinking and feeling at the time, and sort of shaped it over the next 2.5-3 years.
He, your lead, It says it was Rob Nagel.
Rob Nagel plays Charlie Whitmore. Yes.
Yeah. He could run for president.
You know, that's funny. That's not the first time he's heard that. I mean, he's an actor, obviously, for years and years. But he tells a story when he was in high school. He did some sort of thing where he played like George Washington or something, and people were like, you know, if you ever don't enjoy the acting thing anymore, you should be a politician. And then, of course, when he did this play in L.A. with us, and everybody kept saying, like, I would vote for that guy. Man, even though he's a Republican, I would vote for that guy. All these Democrats would say saying that. And so, he's a phenomenal, phenomenal actor, and we're so lucky to have him. Yeah.
My friend, Eve Harrison, who I went with, I kept on saying, he's like the president. She reminded me that he's an actor. But pinching me, because he was unbelievable. Actually, I almost felt that reminded me of Ronald Reagan, who was an actor, right? But when he got up and spoke, actually, I think he won the election in the last couple nights of his speeches that were just riveting a while ago. So, your casting, you are very fortunate to have such wonderful casting. I guess you're Marcus Potter, the director. It really comes together beautifully, and it's so appropriate. What's the next steps here? You're here at the stages for a little bit, and
we're actually still in previews. We open officially in a couple weeks, but it's an open ended run is what they call it, and that means we run as long as there's an audience. The goal has always been with this play is to run in New York as long as we can, maybe expand. We're in a 199 seat theater now. You know, maybe we could get into a larger one if it's going well. People have always said, you know, oh, what about Broadway? What about Broadway? A lot of people see this as a Broadway show. I'm being very sort of cautiously optimistic about that. That takes a lot of time, money, and effort. It's a lot of luck and timing and stuff like that. So I'm not really the eye is not there yet. The eye is not on that prize. The prize for us, for me, realistically, is, you know, the play will run in New York for a while, hopefully do well. And then the goal really is to get it into lots of theaters across the country, because you need people outside of New York to see this play. I mean, I want to see this in theaters in North Carolina and Florida and Texas and Colorado and Minnesota and Oklahoma and Wyoming and California, like get it all over the country, red and blue states, and get people talking about this. Because I think if you can engage them on this issue in a entertaining way, you know, I think, you know, we start off light and sort of ease into the drama, and then sort of leave them with a powerful punch at the end. I think people will maybe see things differently. People on both sides might see this as a less controversial issue, a more straightforward issue. There is some common ground to be found here. And the only way to make things change in this country is it's the ground up. The people have to demand it. And when enough people rise up and say, hey, you guys in Washington, listen to us, they have to listen. You're seeing it a little bit right now with all of this activism, these town halls all across the country, about healthcare. Let's hope things change, but, that's the goal, really, is to get this play into theaters all across the country, to get more people to see it and hopefully affect some change.
Well, it's definitely a commentary about violence and about using, I guess, guns as the tool for the violence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's a very controversial, as you say, state government issue, in that this country, America, has written it into the law that it is right to bear arms, right?
Right.
And so it's so deeply rooted since, I guess, day one, you know, when it was written, on how to deal with it, right? Because, you know, there's both sides of the coin, and everybody knows that the few that use them comparatively to the amount of people,
right,
you know, who would else if they didn't have it, because they're obviously not feeling well. They have some mental disorder to take out their frustrations with a, you know, in a violent act and with a violent piece of equipment. It's a tough issue, right? Isn't it for the country and how to deal with
it? It is a tough issue, and you know, there's just this, like, I don't know, it's a line in the sand. It's like the minute you say guns, let's take a look at the Second Amendment, let's take a look at the laws and the books, people just, they bristle and they say, nope, you can't touch it. It's in the Constitution. You cannot touch it. And that's just kind of not true, because we had laws in our Constitution that we changed. They're called amendments. I mean, that's why you can amend them. I mean, alcohol was illegal for a while and they changed that. The women got the right to vote, right? We changed that. You know, you progress as a country, you progress as a nation. So I don't know why it's taken so long for this one. For whatever reason, the gun lobby, the NRA, is so powerful and so strong, and politicians are so afraid of them. I think that's really the problem, because there actually is common ground. You know, 75% or more of people in this country, that's people, that's Republicans, Democrats, independents, everything, are for closing loopholes and stronger background checks, which is really all that our character proposes in this play. And yet there's no common ground to be had in Washington. And yet when 75% of the people are for that, you would think, oh, wow, well, this is kind of a no-brainer, right? Like, we should do what most of the country wants. They're just afraid of all of the backlash and afraid of essentially losing the next election, because what the NRA does, they say, hey, Mr. Congressman, if you don't toe the party line and block restrictive bans on firearms, you know, and vote along these lines for us, we will find someone who will be our mouthpiece, and we will fund their campaign, millions and millions of dollars in their campaign, to defeat you next time. So that's what they're afraid of. And it just really, literally comes down to that. These people are afraid of their jobs. I don't know how you feel.
I'm very impressed with the way you wrote this, because I really feel it was a very fair depiction of our society today. And you know, he is a gun. What do they call him? Toteler? he has a gun himself.
He's a proud gun owner himself.
He's a proud gun owner himself. And a sad man at a moment when children got hurt or killed in his school, and appreciative it wasn't his own, but treated those that were killed like his own. Family. You really were very, very, very sensitive to today. There's a lot of education. I want and inviting you now to be part of our Peace Day events, which we do here in September, the International Day of Peace.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is really a very important piece of work. Tell me a little bit about your background personally. Give us some history on you.
I'm from Columbia, Maryland, which is a sort of a small little suburb between Baltimore and D.C. I grew up there, and, you know, in high school and college, I went to college at the University of Virginia. I think that's where I kind of got to understand the people that are in this play. I have a lot of friends from North and South Carolina. That's kind of what those characters are based on. But I was an actor. I was an actor in high school. I was an actor in college. When I first moved to New York, that's what I was here to do. But I was always interested in writing. I was always kind of doing it on the side with really no goal in mind, other than when I was sitting around waiting for auditions, you know, not, you know, being a caterer, waiter, whatever, for money on the side. I had time on my hands, and I would just write just because it was something that you could do. You know, you can't just by yourself, you can't just go out and act, you know, it's not like stand-up comedy or anything like that. Like, you know, you need a bunch of people, you need to play. So I was like, well, I'm just going to write stuff. I started writing monologues and short plays and short stories and TV show ideas and little movies, like just everything. And it was all really bad, but it was like, it was just to really just an exercise. And I started doing it more and more and more. And I started acting less and less and less, some by choice. And then I, I just one day turned to my wife and I said, we're sort of busting our butts trying to get jobs in plays, and some of these plays aren't good. These new plays aren't something I want to even be in. I want to write a play. I want to write a play that you can be in. What kind of play do you want to do? And Charlotte, my wife, she's Israeli and Danish and speaks four languages flawlessly with no accent. So she's like, you know, do something where like people can understand me, and something like language miscommunication. So that's when I wrote my first play called Handle with Care, about an Israeli woman who is stuck in a small town on Christmas Eve, and no one speaks Hebrew, and she's trying to sort of find her way and ends up falling in love with a guy who comes to help translate. It's, you know, a sweet little romantic comedy, also about faith, coincidentally. I guess that's sort of running.
It wasn't Santa Claus, was it?
No, it was not Santa Claus. it's a little Jewish Christmas play, and it actually closed 3 years ago today, I found out on Facebook.
Wow.
They gave me a little alert. it was at the West Side Theater. And so that was the first sort of foray into playwriting. I wrote a couple of other plays. One was produced actually in North Carolina, directed by Marcus Potter last year. And then this one. So that's kind of how I came about to playwriting. I still consider myself a newbie. You know, I really feel like this is only my second play, because it's the second one that's been like really developed and through the ringer and put on a New York stage. I've written five plays, and they've all been produced at sort of various levels. But I think this is, I really consider this only my second sort of production. So I'm still working it out. I'm still trying to find my voice, I think. But yeah, that's me.
All right. Well, for me, every word was a good word.
And, that's good to hear.
And I've been in this business 40 plus years, and mostly in the TV land. And you know, you can't have a bad word, because a bad word in the show business takes you out of the show. And the key is to keep the people in the show watching it engaged, I believe is a good word. By the moment, either an actor is not there, like for example, I did a soap opera for a long time, okay?
I've
got a couple bad words, or a couple bad lines and movements and things. It's very easy to get someone's brain out of the game. And I think you really had them, and in my mind, you had me, I'll tell you that, from day one to the end of the show. So I wouldn't change anything.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's great to hear. I appreciate it. Yeah.
The actors were super, and it's such an important subject, and I'll call the subject a dilemma of our existence, especially for all those that have families and kids, and you know, which always becomes the number, I guess, in my mind. And we don't want to see anybody lose their life, but when anybody innocent, especially children, get into this kind of a setting, it's just so terrible. Let me ask you, Jason, two last questions. One is, in your life, personally, our business and on the show, what's good news for you, since our show is called Good News Planet?
What's good news for me?
Yeah, what would be good news for you?
Well, what would be good news for me? The first thing that comes to mind is, because this play is on my mind, the first thing would be Congress would pass some sort of gun laws, that they would finally get their act together and do something about this. That would be really great news for me. Other good news for me would be that our play is sold out and would run for, you know, a whole year at least. That would be good news. My daughter got a really great report card yesterday. That was really great news. Good news comes in lots of places. I think the hardest thing for me and my wife Charlotte, she's the one producing this play actually. And so we are in the thick of it right now, and it's really hard to just to appreciate the small little things and like, hey, that's good news, or look at this little tiny victory that we had today. That's always hard. So I'm always looking for good news everywhere. But it's hard to see sometimes, right? Because you're so focused on all the minutia of life. But those are the first three things that I thought of. That's good news.
Day one is great if you get up and you're breathing. Last question, because I mentioned earlier that we're very involved with the International Day of Peace, World Peace, and I've asked thousands of people what does peace mean to them, and so I'm going to ask you, what does peace mean to you, Jason?
That's a big question. I don't know. Do people have easy, short answers for that? What does peace mean to me? Peace means to me, you know what peace means to me is when you care more about the greater good than your own personal selfish good. I think that would be peace. If everybody is more concerned about everyone getting along rather than themselves getting ahead, that would be, I think if that was the case for everyone, then there would be peace. If everyone stopped being selfish.
There we go. Beautifully stated. Yeah. Well, it's, you ought to go into writing.
Succinct.
Congratulations. Really great show. And what's the website for the show, and where can people get tickets?
Absolutely. The website is Church and State The Play, churchandstatetheplay.com. And we're running at New World Stages. You can also look at the newworldstages.com website. We are running now every day but Tuesday. There are shows, two shows on Saturday and two shows on Sunday.
Uh-huh. Okay. Jason, congratulations, and to you and to Charlotte, and the real good thing you're doing. Very important work, and actually I see it also going at the educational outreach as well as something for you to consider. This is a good
place. Yeah, absolutely. A goal would be to eventually get into schools and colleges for sure.
Very important for the future. Great. All right. Thank you so much,
thank
Jason.
You.
Take care.
Thank you, Paul. Great talking
all
to
right.
you. Bye.
Nice to speak with you as well. Bye-bye.
Bye.